Well, I'm proud to welcome to Race Trackers the musical and artistic duo of Cersei, Mel Kramer and Rich Labuti. Welcome to Race Trackers.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
I guess you've become a staple to racetrack followers. You've had a long career, and you're known and have a cult following. But those of us who go to the racetrack in New York have really kind of discovered you most recently with you playing in Saratoga Springs. We want to talk a little bit about we get further on. But first, tell us a little bit about your band and your style. I'm a big fan of it. It's sort of old-time rock and roll with only two people and a lot of sound.
Well, thank you, Bill. That's really nice. Yeah, we are two people, but we are I'm the lead singer and the drummer, and I play drums standing up, and Rich is the guitar player, and we both play bass. We trade bass off. I put on a keyboard that I play with my drumstick, and Rich plays it on a keyboard that he plays with his feet.
That is correct.
Right. Well, we want to talk about that a little bit later, a little bit more, because that's quite an innovation. Playing the drums standing up took a bit of jiggering, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. But also, I guess some of the greatest praise you get or the biggest compliments you get are from other musicians who realize how difficult it is to put that type of sound out and to play bass on keyboard with your feet and with your drumsticks.
Yeah.
We can always tell when we're playing a show, when we see people in the audience that are kind of looking and pointing, and then they often come around the side. Melanie and I both know that those are generally musicians.
Yes.
Well, there's no greater compliment than ones from your peers, so that must make you feel, you know.
Absolutely. It's awesome. Yeah.
Quite big. You're also known for being quite prolific. It was said that James Brown was the hardest working man in show business, but I guess you're the hardest working duo in show business. I think you play over 200 nights a year, and you travel some 60,000 miles driving. Tell us about that work ethic and how hard or how much fun that is to be able to do that every night.
It's all those things. It's super hard, and it's also super fun. I mean, we kind of just don't really know any other way of life at this point. I mean, we just keep traveling and playing shows, and some of it is for financial survival, because it's difficult out there as an indie band to just pay the bills.
And we don't have day jobs. Like, this is our only source of income. So part of the 250 shows a year is joy. Part of it is need and desperation. So, you know, we tour to make a living, and we just keep going. And it's our greatest joy, though, to be able to meet people in different markets and play shows and see them singing along with songs and things. It's pretty awesome.
Well, it clearly shows that this is what you do for a living. There are a lot of good bands out there who, as you say, have day jobs and a lot of talented people. But your professionalism shows, you know, tremendously. And I guess the ability to play that many shows live allows you to experiment a little bit with each of your songs. I've heard you singing a number of times, and there's always a little bit different energy. It's always high energy, but sometimes you feel it a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. That's a really nice compliment, because we do want that organic sense of the song always being a little bit different every night. Because for us, the show is all about the moment that we have with the crowd, and it's a moment that we all have together. So the shows aren't always the same. Every show has a unique quality and a unique energy, and they're all special snowflakes in that way.
That's great. I've read up, and I know the name Melanie comes from one of your words as a child. Cersei is Well, tell us about that, I guess.
Well, it was my nickname when I was a little kid. My sister used to call me, instead of sister or sissy, she used to call me Cersei. And, you know, we spelled it phonetically, S-I-R-S-Y, because we were little kids. So when Rich and I were looking for a band name, I suggested it because I figured it wasn't really a word. And he thought it sounded pretty cool. And we rolled with it.
We were going to name the band after my childhood nickname, but Butthead isn't a good name for a band.
it was already taken by
it was already taken.
Yeah, by some of the people I knew. Oh, that's funny. Well, I mean, in many ways, you guys are really, you know, what rock and roll was all about at one point. You know, it's independent bands playing innovative music, feasting off the crowd. And traveling constantly. And that must be fun. I mean, I traveled for business for a long time, and I always loved the small nuances and differences in different parts of the country. You went out west this year, and did you find out west to be as satisfying as the Northeast?
It's definitely – I mean, it's cool for us, I think. You know, we've been out on the West Coast maybe four or five times in the last 5 years. And it has a very different flavor and vibe than the Northeast, but you know, in a good way. I mean, there's pros and cons to both. It's interesting for us just because we both grew up in the Northeast to spend time in the southwestern part of the country in Arizona and California and New Mexico. It's beautiful out there, and there is I would say a more laid back kind of vibe than the traditional
New York.
we'll call it the uptight upstate.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that we're all familiar with and, you know, grew up. I mean, I grew up in Rhode Island and, you know, that kind of New England, you know, we're all a little bit more closed off than they are
right.
in the Southwest. It's fun for us to experience. It seems easier to meet people in the southwestern part of the country. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, if some stranger comes up to you and talks to you and tells you, you know, you have a deep conversation with them, it doesn't seem weird out there.
Yeah.
People might think you were weird around here if you did that.
No, it's funny. Well, you know, listeners to this show know that I have two sons who go to Arizona State out in Tempe.
Oh, okay.
Ah, there you go.
And, you know, Tempe at one point was a real hotbed of rock and roll. The Gin Blossoms got their start out there, and, you know, they're still a big indie music scene out there. And you're right, it is. It's a little more open, and it's a little more laid back in some ways. But it's also innovation is kind of whatever you want to do. If you want to step outside the box, people are more willing to accept it. I want to talk a little bit about the actual travels. You drive 60,000 miles, and I guess from what I read, Rich, you do all the driving, and
yeah,
and Melanie,
like
you do
99% of it. Yeah,
and you criticize. Is that the way it works? Is that
that's pretty much how it works. Yeah.
Well, you have kind of an innovative program where you ask people to sponsor a couple of miles of your trip. I think it's all pretty much in fun. I don't think it's not really a major fundraising type of thing, but it's people get to sponsor your trip a little bit by paying $1 a mile or something per mile, right? Is that the way you've done it?
Yeah.
We are incredibly, incredibly lucky that we have. I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to brown nose. We have the most amazing fans in the whole world. Like, our fans just, they rock. The local fans where we've been playing the longest have supported us for years and years and years, and they still support us. Like, it's awesome. And then we have new fans in different markets all over the place. And it's astounding to us how generous they are. But the mileage program was really Rich's brainchild. And we have a tech-savvy IT wizard friend of ours, Chet Seidel, who helps us build the map. And so fans can go on and pick however many miles they want to sponsor, and then they see a little cartoon icon of our van drive across the map for that many miles. And we try to take a picture when we hit the mileage mark that they've donated so they can kind of see how far they got us.
And we offer them a unique shirt, and we sometimes you can get – you know, some unique
song downloads that we don't ever sell that only go to sponsors. So we give you a little incentives, and it definitely, the money that the sponsors give us definitely helps us on the road, because it is expensive to be on the road. Like, the last nationwide tour we were on was almost 4 months long. And so, I mean, that does get expensive.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, this show is about horse racing, and I always say on the show that you may never have enough money to own a major league football or baseball franchise, but you might be able to own part of a racehorse. So I guess now, in some ways, we can own part of a rock and roll duo.
You can own part of an indie rock band. That's right. Absolutely.
it's always been
put all your money on this horse.
That's always been. I always wanted to have a dog in the Iditarod race up in Alaska, and I always wanted to have an indie rock band. So we'll get on the on the website and sponsor as much we can, and I hope some of our listeners will too. You've had some. I want to get back to the horse racing again in a minute, but you've had some brushes with some great fame, and I guess Melanie, you actually have movie credits. At one point, you were in the movie Dorian Blues. Do I have that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. We performed, we did, they used several of our songs in the movies, and then we had a quick cameo as the quote unquote bar band in the movie
that they filmed in Saratoga.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's what, where did they film in Saratoga?
It was at the old E.O. Dwyer's, which is no longer there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, that's great. Well, I guess Saratoga is known in music circles, right, for having Don McLean write American Pie, I guess, at Desperate Annie's on Caroline Street, legend.
Yeah, yep.
So that and Dorian Blues. I guess the most recent one, and one that my college-age son was thrilled about when he found out, was your song Cannonball was used in one of the episodes of the Showtime series Shameless. And how did that come about?
I mean, that's a lot of that happens in closed rooms without us. We have a fellow in Michigan who shops some of our songs to movies and film. And every so often, you know, we get picked by the producers and the music supervisors from these shows. So someone at Shameless, the music supervisor, heard the song Cannonball and they wanted to use it. So they made us an offer. We took the money and we ran.
we're in season 6, and it's actually a pretty funny scene. So it's a pretty cool scene to be a part of. It was fun when we saw it.
We also, the NASCAR used that same song, Cannonball, in a piece they did on Joey Logano. So not horse racing, but car racing.
Okay, well, that's great. That's fun. Well, I don't know if you've listened to our show ever, but the beginning of our show has a song that was written specifically for our show by friends of ours, who are part of the Hitman Blues Band down here on Long Island. And like yourselves, they're all independent and they write their own songs. And
we did hear the beginning of beginning song. That's really cool that it's an indie band. That's cool.
Right, and they wrote it specifically for us. So if you ever
awesome.
Come up with some ideas about writing a 10-20 second piece for Racetrackers, we'd be happy to add that to our list. That would be great.
I got the beat already, though.
That's right.
That'll be the beat to the song.
Yeah, that or the sound of ATM cards going into ATM machines. Money coming out. Well, tell us about the racetrack. You're going to play in Saratoga. You're going to play this Sunday night, which I guess is the 13th, at Bailey's. And it's a 6 p.m. start, so anybody who goes from the races, go straight over to Bailey's on Sunday. I'll be there. I'll do the best to bring as many racetrack listeners with me as I can. I know there's some people out from Kentucky who are trying to see Saratoga for the first time, so we'll bring them over. And
awesome.
that's an outdoor show, so that's great. I mean, Bailey's is a perfect location for a summertime show.
Yep.
And then we're also going to do Saturday, August 19th at 6, we're at the Saratoga Winery. We're going to be right at the racetrack in the gazebo there on Friday, the August 25th at 1 o'clock.
Right. So that's the Friday. Well, that's the big crowd. That's a big day. And that's a nice spot for you guys to be there. And you'll play there during the day. It'll be a little bit warm. The gazebo's a little hot. So be careful.
Yeah.
Bring a lot of water. But that's great. I hope many racetracks. Yeah. And I encourage racetrackers, listeners and racetrack fans to come up and speak with you. Rich, I don't know if there's any. Edith Labuti was a name in racing for a little while.
Edith Labuti was?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I don't know about her. What did she do?
Well, she's now retired, but she was the owner of a horse called Devil His Due, which was a very good horse, won a lot of races. So Labuti is a fame, a name that's probably familiar to a lot of race fans. But so keep that in mind. I'll get you something on that at some point.
We'll have to throw his name around that gazebo a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I think didn't Donald Trump have a relationship with Edith Labuti?
That's the same Labuti. He had a relationship with Labuti's Edith Labuti's father. Excuse me. And that was not the greatest of connections, but Edith Labuti owned Devil His Due, who was a very good racehorse in the '90s.
Okay.
Very cool.
Tell us about your new album before we let you go. You have a new album out, and people can get it on your website.
Yeah, we have a new live record out, and then we just released an EP before that, and our Coming Into Frame album, the one with Cannonball, is also available all on Cirsy.com, Cirsy.com. And we'll have it at all the shows as well.
Excellent. Will you be able to sell it on the racetrack itself? Do they permit you to do that?
We are allowed to sell CDs at the racetrack. So, it's a cool gig. We play in between all the races, so race fans can still get their fill of betting on the races. And it's neat. We meet people from all over the world at the racetrack. So it's kind of cool that we get to live in Saratoga County and experience, you know, people from all over the world. It's pretty neat.
Well, it's the spot to be in August, no question about that. So,
yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this. We've been trying to do this for a while, and I'll see you on Sunday, and we'll put this out, and we'll make sure this gets out on the internet, on the web. Excuse the noise in the background. I can't believe how loud it all of a sudden became here. But we'll put it out on the Twitter and on the internet, and please feel free to use it and use the link any way you want. And I encourage all of our listeners to come up and say hello to Rich and Mel on any of those days that we spoke about. This Sunday night.
Yeah, anybody that comes up and says the word race trackers gets a giant hug.
Okay, excellent. Nothing better than that. All right, folks, thanks so much. Cirsy, Melanie Kramer, and Rich Labuti. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Phil.